I am not praying for the world, but for those have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
So as some of you may or may not know, my name is James Smith. I am the youth intern here, and I have the privilege of working alongside people like Silas, who is the young leader, right? Yes. Today, our speakers are going to be Matthew, Grace, Mark, and Verona, young student leaders, as well as youth. These are all people that I admire deeply, and it reminds me when we hear them speak that God's wisdom transcends everything. All the human limitations that we have, those are no barrier to God. So I hope that you will be moved by what they say and hear God's wisdom through their mouths. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then it's on to you. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for bringing us here together in your house. Unite us, teach us, and guide us today as we discover who you are through the words of your servants. Amen. Let's do it.
Hello? Okay. Can you guys hear me? Perfect. Is there anybody here that went to Sunday school? Can you guys raise your hands? That's what I thought. Did you ever have to memorize a bunch of verses and then, you know, like start singing songs like Father Abraham with the action that the teacher showed you, you know, like Father Abraham had many sons, something like that? I feel like a lot of us younger people grew up in that sort of environment, especially my friends here that I have at church. I remember having to learn all these Bible verses and not really knowing what they meant. Like, you know, John 3:16. I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew what to say until, you know, I really looked at it. And I was like, oh, that's what it means. The only thing I really knew was that I was obeying God by just memorizing, remembering, and just quoting all these verses. So whenever someone would say to me, what's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. As I got older, I really became desensitized to these constant Bible stories and parables that were being told to me over and over. It was like Jesus was this distant relative that would show up occasionally at family gatherings, or was just mentioned in passing by aunts and uncles. Sure, we'd go to church every Sunday and listen to the occasional inspiring or convicting messages that the pastors bring us. Sorry, Pastor Callum. I would occasionally also volunteer every week or so on worship team or doing announcements, but it felt more of like an obligation rather than actual service to the Lord. One day, though, I happened to listen in on Helmut's testimony during a New Hope dinner. Helmut, if you're in this congregation, I'm sorry. His testimony was about his childhood and coming to Vancouver, and it was centered around Romans 8:38-39, the verses that he was given when he was a child for his Lutheran confirmation. It says, "For I am convinced that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." For some reason, I was compelled to look it up in the Bible, despite already having heard it and knowing where it was. It was really the first time in my life that I felt God's personally, like he was reaching out to me and speaking to me. On Friday nights, James always encourages the youth and myself and other leaders who are there to find the truth out for ourselves and not just to take his word for it because it sounds right or it's what you've been learning in Sunday school or if it's what your parents and relatives are telling you. I think a lot of us, youth and young adults especially, but also some adults, really need to challenge ourselves and find out who Jesus is for us so that our faith is not blind. Otherwise, what good is our faith if we just take it at face value and don't even know who we're believing in or why we're believing in it? Amen? Thank you.
Good morning. So, growing up in a Christian household, school, and a religious country, which is the Philippines, sort of made me feel that my faith is habituated. It was something that I had gotten used to, not something that I should have earned, my relationship with God. And I forget, or maybe didn't even know, the purpose in which God had laid and meant for me. For the longest time, I took advantage of God's ever-present love and grace that I forget to give back the same love to God, to others, and maybe even to myself. I was selfish in which the plans that I had for myself were my first priority. Like, for example, before, when I graduated, I wanted to take a break from school. I wanted to go travel around the world. And, you know, that was my plan. That wasn't what God had planned for me. And I didn't know it yet. I actually didn't know it till like a few weeks ago. But God told me to ask the people around me too. They told me to ask, like, how would you serve God? Where could you do that? How could you do that? And I was scared at first hearing that question because that meant that I had to think and I had to really ponder upon that question. And I had plans for myself and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But nevertheless, I asked that question. I prayed. I asked, "Lord, what would you want me to do? How would you want me to serve?" And later on, a few days later, Pastor Lee comes up to me and says, "So Grace, did you want to be a part of youth as a leader, perhaps? Because you just graduated and like maybe you could help out at youth." And I said to myself, "I don't want to be a youth leader. I don't want to volunteer. I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing." But, you know, it was something that I asked for. It was something that I prayed. And I said yes to Pastor Lee. I was like, "Okay, I'll volunteer. Why not?" And I struggled volunteering. I struggled. There have been times where I cried because it's hard. Because there are people close to my age. You know, there's a little bit distance between, like, respect and something along those lines. Not to say that the youth aren't respecting me, but we have our moments. And where was I? Okay, so yeah, I was volunteering at youth, and 2 years later, James and Silas, we had this conversation at the youth leader and at the young adults as well. They asked a question, like, "What does it mean for you to serve God? What does it mean?" And I thought about that question, and I didn't know what to answer. And then I thought more about that question days later. And then I said at the young adults last Sunday, "Serving God gave me purpose. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do in my gap year. I mean, I knew what I was going to do, but then God said, no, 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 you're not going to do that. And I, with that question of, whoa, sorry, I lost myself again. Yeah, so there was that question of how what does it mean to serve God? To me, to serve God is a purpose. It gave me a purpose, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And, well, I'm glad that I said yes to Pastor Lee, because I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be close to God. I wouldn't have this relationship with the community, with the youth, with the young adults, and I did not regret any of that. And so I thank God so much that he, you know, he brought me here. He asked people to ask me, he told people to ask me these questions. And so, yeah. And I didn't realize these things not until I got here in Canada, you know, because the Philippines is like, they're really religious. You know, it's very important to them. And in Canada, diversity is a thing. You see people with different culture, language, and faith. I made friends with different views on faith. And I had this rather hypnotizing attitude. I mean, they had this rather hypnotizing attitude of respect for others, which I thought of as apathy. Apathy meaning I don't care. Basically, that's what apathy means. And it influenced my attitude towards my faith. Eventually, then, my Wi-Fi with God became slow and weak, and I started using my 10 gigabytes of data into the world instead of using it, that powerful connection, to seek God. However, through the prayers of my community, the church, my family, and Laura, who was actually the previous young adults leader, she prayed for me a lot and she talked to me a lot, and because of these encouragements, I was renewed. I was reminded of my purpose in life, which is to serve God, for God, with God, through God. Ultimately, through the constant struggles in my life, I learned that God is like rice. To me, God is staple. You know? And God made me forget him in order to remember the importance and significance of the relationship that I have had always with him. Just as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And as a reminder to youth who are going to the mission trip, it's okay to be scared when you're going there. You may not know what to do, but learn to seek God, most especially in those times. And as a reminder, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, because of this privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Thank you.
Good morning. Today I will be talking about peer pressure, something that young and old people, Christians and non-Christians, deal with. First off, I would like to read from Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. In this passage, Solomon talks about how we are influenced by the people around us. He says that if we are around people of wisdom, we will grow wise, but if we are around fools, we will suffer harm. He is telling us that we should be careful about who you hang out with. But this doesn't mean we should cut out all the people that we think are a bad influence on our lives. These people, the people that are peer pressuring us, are really the ones that need the most guidance and help. This leads me to the next passage, Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you too may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You see, Paul is telling us that we need to set a good example for the bad influences that God has placed in our lives. These are the people that need Christ the most. For it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Matthew 10:22 reads, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm till the end will be saved. When I feel peer pressured, it is usually because a lot of people are already doing something and they want me to join them. And I feel pressured because I want to fit in. But as Christians, we aren't meant to fit in with the rest of the world. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. It says that we will be hated by all men because of our faith. I would like to finish with this passage from Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Thank you.
Hello. I'd like to start this off by reading Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We all come from different family backgrounds, cultures, friend groups, and they each come with their unique set of challenges when living out this faith. It can make life really difficult, tiring, and sometimes make one think, is it really worth it? To be honest, I think of that question a lot. This faith can be offensive to people, and while I love discussions, I really hate arguing. But some people, when they hear you are a Christian, just want to argue with you. I sometimes feel like there's a lot of pressure to show others that this life of following Christ is great all the time. Not to say that it isn't good, and it definitely has its joys, but there are also a lot of hardships. There are a lot of moments when I just feel so tired of it all. Tired of turning the cheek when all I want to do is make that person feel as hurt as I do. I get tired of feeling lonely, wanting someone who will love me as much as I love them. Someone I can physically touch and see. Sorry, Jesus, I know you love me too, but you know what I mean. Sometimes God can feel so far away. Or indifferent because we think he is perfect. He doesn't really know what it's like to struggle. But truth is, he does. Maybe it's because we've heard it so often that it never really sinks into our head. But Jesus was human too. He knows what it's like to be an outcast, to be rejected by family and the people that he grew up with. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, falsely accused, judged. He was also in his 30s, which is kind of old for someone in that age to be single, or at least not engaged. So he must have been asked countless times, why aren't you married yet? He also knows what it's like to be tempted. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So according to that, whatever we struggle with, Jesus knows what it's like. He knows and encourages us to push on. As Christians, we are to be like Christ, so we do what he does. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He had his eyes on a goal, the end game of all that he was doing. That joy that he looked forward to was and is you, and the possibility of having a relationship with you. It also includes victory over death, ultimately evil, and then life everlasting. But it still does include you. And let's just think about that for a second. So like Jesus, we need to keep the end goal in mind. But sometimes the end goal can seem a little bit abstract and far from reach. And that's when we need to focus on Jesus himself. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he will show us through. We are also never alone. Yes, God will always be with us, but he has given us the gift of the church as well. We do not live this faith alone. We can't. We are literally designed to need each other. We are created in the image of the Trinitarian God, three in one. For God is not just one part, for he cannot love on his own. God is not two in one, because his love is not mutually exclusive. He is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For true love is community. We are made in the image of love, to love, in community. Therefore, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. These witnesses are our brothers and sisters in Christ from all ages and backgrounds. Those who have gone before us also know what it's like to struggle in this faith. They will have likely had the same thoughts, doubts, and hardships that you have. Those who follow behind are equally as encouraging. I think of the testimonies of those who just got baptized to see that fire and that love for Christ. It reminds me not to let my love for Jesus grow cold. But the thing with community is also the necessity to be honest. Honest about how we feel, our struggles, our hopes, but especially our sin. Sin thrives when kept in secret, and sin keeps us away from God. It's not like we have to expose every little thing of ourselves to the world, but we aren't supposed to keep it hidden to ourselves either. I have found that my pride can get in the way of this, valuing my image of how other people perceive me over the freedom of repentance. But this is why God puts us in community with each other, to bear with one another in each of our struggles. Also so that we may stay humble and remember that it is by grace that we are saved and that grace is meant to be imparted to others as well. We are not to judge and act like we are better, but to come to God together and ask for forgiveness. To forgive one another and challenge one another, spurring each other on to live holy lives set apart for God. So I encourage you to find someone that you know loves God and can be your accountability partner. Someone that you can call when you feel the urge to sin. Someone who can walk alongside with you and pray for you. So how then shall we live? Together, in community, in God's grace and truth, keeping our eyes on Jesus. We'll sing of having our hope and victory in the fact that Jesus is alive. And if you'll please rise and sing hymn number 213, Because He Lives.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to still, the calm assurance.
There is always opportunity to receive prayer at the end of each service. There are those here who will gladly pray with you if you want to come forward and just share with them. They will pray with you. Thank you to each of you, and thank you to our young adults and to our youth for leading us this morning. I told you they're wise, didn't I? Yeah. Hear these words from the end of the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Go in the name of this God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh. I didn't turn it off.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.